región de Montreal, abierto al mundo, bilingüe o a veces multilingüe, con un buen nivel de educación y sofisticación, de ese otro, el Quebec profundo, que rara vez ve a algún inmigrante, que decir a un negro o a un oriental. Ese es el Quebec de la gente que, menos expuesta a la diversidad lingüística y cultural en las regiones de fuera de Montreal o Ciudad de Quebec, piensa y actúa de acuerdo a parámetros muy similares a los de los seguidores de Trump en Estados Unidos. Para esa gente, los inmigrantes son una amenaza. Pueden significar la muerte para la lengua francesa. En esto el nacionalismo de la CAQ, como el de Trump con su consigna de Make America Great Again, recurre a los mismos mecanismos de miedo y desconfianza por el que habla otra lengua, tiene otro color de piel o un apellido extraño. Lo que para muchos parece incomprensible es en los hechos una suerte de histeria colectiva que se propaga como contagio y es bien explotada por los que quieren sacar provecho político. A uno le hace recordar una escena de ese gran film Cabaret, cuando en un parque un muchacho se pone a cantar una canción nazi, The future belongs to me, el futuro me pertenece. Y de pronto, poco a poco, el resto de los paseantes en el parque se va sumando hasta formar un gran coro, excepto por un viejo que observa con desdén ese despliegue de fanatismo. Y significativamente, en la ultraderecha siempre ha habido una obsesión con el futuro. No es casualidad que el partido ganador en Quebec se haga llamar Coalición Avenir Quebec. Ellos y su ideología nacionalista representarían el porvenir de Quebec. Como Trump en Estados Unidos, que prepara un no del todo imposible retorno, como los italianos ultraderechistas de Fratelli d'Italia, como similares movimientos a la espera de ganar, como el de Marine Le Pen en Francia o los de Vox en España y el movimiento de Jair Bolsonaro en las recientes elecciones brasileñas, bueno, la extrema derecha representada en Quebec por la CAQ nos viene a dar un duro despertar. Un proyecto político que convalida el trato despectivo hacia los inmigrantes y que ve la diversidad étnica y cultural como amenaza. Este movimiento goza de un alto grado de popularidad entre los quebecois. Probablemente no entre aquellos con quienes nos relacionamos cotidianamente y que afectuosamente calificamos como buena onda, sino entre aquellos que, situados fuera de las grandes ciudades, hacen la mayoría de la población. La noción de un Quebec progresista es entonces fuertemente sacudida por este resultado. Probablemente la sociedad quebequense mantiene ese rasgo progresista en lo que se refiere a derechos reproductivos y sexuales, pero en lo que hace a la aceptación de la diversidad étnica, racial y cultural, por lo menos fuera de las grandes ciudades, en eso se está muy lejos y en ese respecto aún se respira una atmósfera decimonónica. The Weekly Review. Quebec, an disturbing result. How to read the results of last Sunday's elections in Quebec? We know that the CAQ win was anticipated, so there was no major surprise. These results should make us reflect on how they should necessarily lead to a re-evaluation of the province's political landscape. As will be recalled, a few days before the election, the provincial minister of immigration, Jean Boulet, made statements in which he referred to immigrants in the most derogatory way ever heard. "They go to Montreal, they don't work, they don't speak French," he said in a radio debate. Not to be outdone, the premier himself, François Legault, has stated that receiving more than 50,000 immigrants a year will be suicidal for Quebec. Some believe that these statements, which border on racism, will do some damage to Legault's and CAQ's intentions to be re-elected, or at least caused them to lose some seats. On the contrary, the CAQ increased its number of deputies. Minister Boulet, the author of the controversial statements, was not only re-elected, but did so with a high support in his riding of Trois-Rivières. This means that Quebec voters, particularly its French-speaking majority, voted for the CAQ not despite these xenophobic statements, but on the contrary, because they agreed with them. Legault and the CAQ are like Donald Trump and his similar discourse in the United States. These high-flown, offensive and discriminatory statements are not occasional off-the-cuff outbursts, but rather calculated interventions that test how far one can go with a xenophobic discourse without producing a backlash. And judging by the outcome of the election, one can go pretty far. If a politician had made statements like Minister Boulet at the federal level or in another province, they would have unleashed a political storm. The person responsible would surely have lost many votes, even the election itself. Nothing of that sort has happened here. In a way, the overwhelming triumph of the CAQ validates these discriminatory statements in the eyes of many Quebecois. But then, a very pertinent question arises. How is it possible that Quebec is going backwards in this sense, disavowing the diversity characteristic of the last 50 years? This may come as a shock to some, especially in the Latino community as an immigrant allophone community, that is, a community that is neither francophone nor anglophone. After all, most of the immigrant communities live in the Montreal region, including Laval and Longueuil, and we can say that our interaction with the Quebecois milieu is generally a normal one. Many of our Quebecois neighbors travel to Latin America. Some have even participated in political solidarity work with Central Americans, Chileans, Uruguayans, and others. Of course, a distinction must be made here between the diverse Quebec society present in the Montreal region, open to the world, bilingual or sometimes multilingual, with a good level of education and sophistication, and that from the deep Quebec that rarely sees an immigrant, let alone a black or an oriental. The people of that Quebec in the regions outside Montreal or Quebec City are less exposed to linguistic and cultural diversity and think and act according to parameters very similar to Trump's followers in the United States. For those people, immigrants are a threat. They can mean the death of the French language. In this, the nationalism of the CAQ, like that of Trump with his slogan, Make America Great Again, resorts to the exact mechanism of fears and mistrust for those who speak another language, have another skin color, or have a foreign-sound surname. What seems incomprehensible to many is, in fact, a sort of collective hysteria that spreads like a contagion and is well exploited by those who want to take political advantage of it. One is reminded of a scene in that great film, Cabaret, when in a park, a young guy starts singing a Nazi song, "The future belongs to me." And suddenly, little by little, the rest of the passerby in the park join in until they form a large chorus, except for an old man who looks on with disdain at this display of fanaticism. And significantly, there has always been an obsession with the future on the far right. It is not coincidence that the winning party in Quebec called itself Coalition Avenir Quebec. They and their nationalist ideology will represent the future of Quebec. That's why they pretend. Like Trump in the United States, who is preparing a not entirely impossible comeback, like the Italian ultra-right Fratelli d'Italia, like similar movements waiting to win like that of Marine Le Pen in France or those of Vox in Spain, and the movement of Jair Bolsonaro in the recent Brazilian elections, the extreme right, represented in Quebec by the CAQ, is coming to give us a rude awakening. It is a political project that validates derogatory treatment of immigrants and sees ethnic and cultural diversity as a threat. Yet, it enjoys a high degree of popularity among Quebecois, probably not among those with whom we interact daily and affectionately qualify as cool, but among those who, located outside the big cities, make up most of the population. This result strongly shakes the notion of a progressive Quebec. Quebec society probably maintains this progressive trait regarding reproductive and sexual rights, yet it is a long way off when it comes to accepting ethnic, racial, and cultural diversity, at least outside the big cities. In this respect, there is still among some Quebecois in the region a 19th century atmosphere. Good day.
Quiero cantarle a la vida por volver a empezar. Abrir las puertas para levantarme y en una playa perdida volverte a encontrar. Morir de nuevo por acariciarte. Quiero que seas tú la libertad, el aire donde vuelvo a creer. Quiero que seas tú la luz que me ilumine y que me caliente. Al silencio que sabio e inmenso me hizo descubrir lo bueno que aún tenía guardado. Como un pájaro herido intentar volar, volver a sentir tu corazón de abril enamorado. Quiero que sea
Pastilla de filosofía con François Vallès. La libertad. ¿Qué será eso que la libertad? Bueno, en nuestra cabeza la primera opinión que sale es hacer lo que yo quiero, pues. Pero si la libertad fuera hacer lo que yo quiero, sería más bien un poco yo el esclavo de mi pequeño querer, de mis pequeñas opiniones, de mis pequeños deseos. Y no es porque algo sale de mí espontáneamente que es mi libertad y me hace libre. Y hacer todo lo que quiero, uno aprende muy rápido que no lo puede ni lo debe. Entonces la libertad no puede ser definida como hacer lo que yo quiero. Es más, no puede ser definida en forma individual. Y sin embargo, la libertad tiene que existir en forma singular y cada ser humano tiene el derecho a expresar su originalidad mediante su libre decir. Eso sí. Entonces, ¿cómo definirla? Más bien, yo les invito a pensar la libertad en términos de autonomía. Nomos, la ley, la regla. Auto, yo mismo. Entonces la autonomía es yo mismo pongo la ley. Pero eso no hace de mí un déspota para todos los demás. No, yo mismo, entonces existo en singularidad, pero la norma, la ley, y la ley no puede ser para yo nomás. Es tan contradictorio pensar una ley para mí que pensar un lenguaje individual, un lenguaje privado, un lenguaje para mí. Si yo me invento un lenguaje y que tú no lo puedes comprender, no es un lenguaje. Bueno, si yo me invento una ley y que tú no puedes acudir a esa ley, respetarla también y ser alguien dentro de esa ley, no es una ley. Entonces, la autonomía, fíjese que tiene la palabra auto, entonces no desaparezco, ¿no es cierto? Pero tiene la palabra ley, norma, regla común, lo que hace que finalmente el único espacio donde podemos entender un poco qué significa mi libertad es el espacio político. Ese espacio entre todos nosotros, todas nosotras, donde nos preguntamos juntos cómo debemos vivir juntos y tratemos de darnos las reglas, las normas, las leyes que podamos efectivamente decir sí a esa ley es buena. Entonces, cuando puedo efectivamente reconocer que la ley a la cual estoy sometido es buena, es inteligente, que yo la quiero, soy autónomo. Es como si yo hubiera instalado esa ley, aunque sea obviamente la ley para todos, ¿no? Entonces yo les invito a pensar la libertad en términos políticos, en términos de autonomía, en términos de diálogo entre los seres humanos. ¡Ja! No es fácil, obviamente. Y sabemos bien que la política muchas veces decae en autoritarismo por parte de esos poderosos que logran el poder y que obviamente quieren hacer todo lo que quieren, ¿no? Y ellos piensan en la libertad como su propia libertad. Por eso hemos inventado el Estado de Derecho y las reglas por encima de los poderosos para que ellos también, ¿no?, sean autónomos. Entonces, finalmente tengan que obedecer a reglas. ¡Oh! No funciona muy bien, pero es todo lo que podemos encontrar. Nosotros, los seres humanos, que no tenemos un instinto para guiarnos, entonces tenemos que inventar nuestro modo de vivir juntos en forma autónoma.
vamos ahora a los anuncios del Fichero Latino, hoy 9 de octubre de 2022. Anuncios de interés público, dosis de refuerzo de la vacuna contra el COVID-19. Están abiertas las inscripciones para vacunarse con la tercera vacuna de refuerzo o quinta dosis para aquellos adultos mayores de 18 años. También el gobierno de Quebec ha anunciado que ya está disponible la vacuna para los niños. Consultar y reservar en línea en el sitio web Clic Santé en francés e inglés. Y los eventos. Concierto del conjunto Quilapayún. Nueva fecha. Ponga atención sobre esto porque hay una nueva fecha. Esto es el sábado 16 de octubre a las 19 horas en el Teatro Maisonneuve de la Place des Arts. Precios 50, 70 y 100 dólares. Presentación de la cantata Santa María con la actuación del conjunto Quilapayún de Chile. Sábado 22 de octubre, también esta es una nueva fecha, a las 18 horas en la iglesia St. James. Esto es el 463 St. Catherine Oeste, Metro McGill. Tickets 70 y 100 dólares. Información en el 438-886-2397 y compra en passline.us. En el marco del mes de la herencia latinoamericana, que es este mes de octubre, hay una serie de actividades. Los interesados pueden consultar el programa en el sitio web del mes de la herencia latinoamericana o también en Facebook. Una de las actividades que recomendamos es el taller de apreciación musical La Música que Vive en Montreal. Esto es el miércoles 19 de octubre a las 19 horas en el café de la biblioteca AUNSEC, 545 Fleury Este, presentado por Guillermo Lugowski con la música de Rodrigo Simoes. Es una actividad gratuita. Las publicaciones, las ediciones en francés e inglés del libro Presencia chilena en la Belle Provence, Présence chilienne en la Belle Provence, Chilean Presence en la Belle Provence, se hallan a la venta en la librería de la Université de Montréal, es en el 3200 Jean Brian, en la librería Bertrand, 430 Saint-Pierre, Viejo Montreal, en el internet en la cadena Renobre, en librería Argos en el 1841 A, en Catherine Oeste, y en la librería Paragraph, 2220 McGill College Avenue. Precio, $10 más impuesto. El tiempo para hoy, según Environment Canada, la Oficina Meteorológica Nacional de Canadá. Nublado, con un 60% de posibilidades de chubascos y una temperatura máxima de 14 grados. Para esta noche, despejado, con una mínima de 0 grado. Y recuerde que si usted o su organismo comunitario tienen alguna información que desean difundir en el Fichero Latino, comuníquese con nosotros a Latin Time, a nuestra dirección electrónica, laplaza.info@gmail.com, o también puede enviarnos un mensaje en Facebook. Vaya a www.facebook.com/tiempolatino.latintime y de paso denos un like. Nuestra página Facebook también se actualiza ahora diariamente con noticias y reportajes sobre lo que ocurre en América Latina y el mundo. Síganos en Facebook. Y Tiempo Latino se ha escuchado en América Latina y en todo el mundo a través del Internet. Entre al sitio de CKUT en la siguiente dirección, www.ckut.ca. Y usted puede acceder también a nuestro programa en cualquier otro horario, simplemente yendo al archivo de CKUT en el sitio web ya indicado y presionando Latin Time. Y bien, mañana que es día feriado, les deseamos entonces un feliz día de Acción de Gracias. A happy Thanksgiving Day.
Y esto ha sido todo por hoy. Tiempo Latino es una producción del Taller Latinoamericano de Comunicaciones.
Latin Time is a Latin American Communications Workshop production.
Estuvimos hoy con ustedes.
Our team today.
Daniel Lara y Sergio Martínez en las voces.
Sergio Martínez and Daniel Lara at the mics.
Y Rommel Cajavilca en la producción técnica, la compaginación y la selección musical.
And Rommel Cajavilca in the technical production, edition and music selection.
Manténgase en la sintonía de CKUT, nuestro próximo programa, The International Radio Report.
Stay tuned to CKUT, next, The International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes un feliz domingo.
Have a happy Sunday.
I'm Skip Airy, N2EI of Southern New Jersey. If you're interested in radio, AM, FM, shortwave, amateur radio, pirate broadcasting, and more, you won't want to miss the International Radio Report every Sunday morning at 10:30 on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and online at ckut.ca.
Welcome to the International Radio Report for Sunday, October the 9th, 2022, here on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. My name's Sheldon. I'm here with Jill. We thank you for tuning in to our show today. You can reach us by email, radioreport@yahoo.com. We're live streaming and archived at ckut.ca. Our Facebook group, International Radio Report, we have five new members this week. We welcome Eric, Sheikh, Jim, Dan, and Peter, bringing us to 849 members. And you can catch our show at your leisure and at your convenience on our YouTube channel. It is simply International Radio Report on YouTube, and we have 707 subscribers there. You can subscribe and receive notification each time a new show is posted up there. So we have a mixed bag of program of on the program today of features that cover a lot of odd stories this week. It's one of those weeks where not much mainstream stuff going on, but a lot of weird things popping up. So we'll get right to it, starting with some news from the Radio Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame is operated by the Museum of Broadcast Communications. And via an article in Radio Inc., they have announced the 2022 Legends of Radio inductees. The Museum of Broadcast Communications announced the selection of 10 new legends inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame to recognize the talents and air personalities, programmers, and operators from the radio industry who have passed away. The following 10 radio legends take their place in the Radio Hall of Fame immediately. Some of these you may recognize along the way. Some are a little bit regional. The first is Mr. Doug Banks, a nationally syndicated on-air personality. The next one's a little odd. The legendary singer James Brown. Why is he in the Radio Hall of Fame? Well, apparently he was inducted as a radio station owner. At one point in his career, he was the owner of WJBE Radio in Knoxville, Tennessee. We have Bob Coburn, who is host of the syndicated Rockline show. That used to be aired here in Montreal, actually, a number of years back on Shom FM. Chuck Hearn, who was play-by-play announcer and the voice of the Los Angeles Lakers basketball team. Bernice Judas, owner and general manager of WNEW-AM from the 1930s through the 1950s. Sid Mark, host of the syndicated program Sounds of Sinatra Show. That ran for 60-plus years on radio. Bobby O.J., on-air personality at WDIA-AM in Memphis. Purvis Spann, on-air personality at WVON-AM in Chicago. James Thompson, Group W Broadcasting President and President of the Broadcasters Foundation, and Rosalie Tremblay, a music director at CKLW-AM, which they call Detroit, but was actually Windsor. It served the Windsor and the Detroit market in the 1960s and 70s. I read an article about her recently when she did pass away. Many of the artists in Motown and even rock artists from the Detroit-Windsor area credited her for their careers being successful as she programmed the radio station, which was heard on 800 kilohertz clear channel and introduced people to a lot of the great music of the 60s and 70s. So those people are all now members of the Radio Hall of Fame. Craig Kitchen, co-chairman of the Radio Hall of Fame, said the Radio Hall of Fame is dedicated to recognizing the individuals who have made the greatest impact on our 100-plus-year-old industry. I'm thrilled to see the nominating committee confirm the induction of these 10 individuals who each made such an impact on our industry in their time. Dennis Green, co-chairman of Radio Hall of Fame, noted, "We are proud to honor these legendary figures who made an indelible impact on the radio industry. Their legacy lives on as Radio Hall of Fame inductees from this year's Legends class."
The Radio Hall of Fame will recognize its 2022 class of inductees at the in-person 2022 Radio Hall of Fame induction ceremony on Tuesday, November the 1st at Chicago's Radisson Blue Aqua Hotel. Tickets on sale if you're in the area, radiohalloffame.com, and a portion of ticket purchases is a tax-deductible charitable donation to the Museum of Broadcast Communications.
We have a story of Doreen Bogdan Martin, radio amateur KD2JTX, that has become the first woman to be elected as Secretary General of the International Telecommunications Union, the ITU. This is by Tom Durkin, the BBC News, via Mike Terry, UK, and Glenn Hauser's World of Radio. The ITU is the main technology agency within the United Nations. Originally founded in 1865 to manage the first international telegraph networks, the ITU now has an important role in facilitating the use of radio, satellite, and the internet. Mrs. Bogdan Martin beat her Russian rival Rashid Ismailov by 139 votes to 25. The American will succeed Hulin Zhao, who had been in the role since 2014, when her term begins on January 1st, 2023. She will be taking the reins of the old UN agency, which is responsible for many facets of international communications. These include assigning satellite orbits globally, coordinating technical standards, and improving infrastructure in the developing world. There had been concerns ahead of the election because of Mrs. Bogdan Martin's opponent had previously called for international regulation of the internet. Whether it's today's children or our children's children, we need to provide them with a strong and stable foundation for growth, she said, following her win. The world is facing significant challenges, escalating conflicts, a climate crisis, food security, gender inequalities, and 2.7 billion people with no access to the internet. She said she believes the ITU has an opportunity to help many of these issues. Who is Ms. Bogdan Martin? In her previous role as director of the ITU's Telecommunication Development Bureau, Mrs. Bogdan Martin's remit included job creation, digital skills development, diversity, and gender equality. Her candidacy for the top job was endorsed by U.S. President Joe Biden, who said she had the integrity, experience, and vision necessary to transform the digital landscape. She understands the importance of connecting every school to the internet and making sure every student can access virtual learning, providing women and girls the digital tools they need to succeed, and extending the benefits of online health and educational resources, he said in a statement. So this is nice, as we don't have a lot of women in a radio field and technology in general. To have somebody now at the head of the ITU is really, really nice.
Yeah, a lot of focus on the future as well, you know, as she talks about today's children or our children's children. Particularly interested in that quote of the 2.7 billion people without internet access. Yep. Are you listening, radio broadcasters who have gone to web-based broadcasting only? I wonder what those 2.7 billion people are using to get their information. Anyways, congratulations to Ms. Bogdan Martin. And being a radio amateur might be something helpful as well.
Definitely.
Looking at how amateur radio impacts and fits in with the whole telecommunications system out there in the world. Okay, this is one of our weird stories of the day. A lot of information going on and on the web about this through a number of the different radio groups today. Something odd is happening at KGO San Francisco's AM radio station. It's suddenly playing only gambling and money-related songs. This was passed along to us by Steve Camp. He's a CIDX member of our club in Sacramento, California. AM radio station KGO 810 kilohertz just announced, "Today we say goodbye." And now they're playing nothing but songs about money and gambling, which could be a staff revolt or might be a strange casino promotion. San Francisco's KGO 810 AM has been the Bay Area's top-rated radio station up until 2010, with its original news content, which is around when they declared bankruptcy. But the station announced Thursday morning that they were going off the air effective immediately, according to SFGate. And it sure appears this was an abrupt closure. Today, we say goodbye to the legendary KGO, the station said on both Twitter and on its website. On Monday, 8:10 a.m. begins a new era. We hope you'll tune in. If you tune into the radio station, there is something on the air, but it's an automated loop playing a lot of songs that reference money. Pink Floyd's Money, AC/DC's Money Talks, Pet Shop Boys' Opportunities, Let's Make Lots of Money, and the Steve Miller Band's Take the Money and Run. Is this a sign of disgruntled, fired employees making editorial comments about their owners and corporate overlords at Cumulus Media? But there's another, more likely explanation. Some of the other songs in the loop are about gambling. Kenny Rogers' The Gambler and Elvis Presley's Viva Las Vegas. Now, the promo announces in the loop and says the most unique radio station in the Bay Area is coming Monday. Bet on it and bill that the new station will be the biggest gamble in the Bay Area radio history. In recent decades, KGO 810 AM had been widely respected as a talk radio station. But maybe now, if you're not running 24/7 conspiracy and Trump content, it doesn't pay the bills. And Cumulus is now shutting down the KGO AM 810 radio we always knew, and perhaps placing all of their chips on some sort of gambling promotion. Mark Thompson of Mark Live tweeted at 11:35 a.m. on Thursday, October the 6th, "Thanks to everyone who has reached out on this day. Yes, the KGO we knew as a talk station is going away." We have some more information just coming in on the KGO San Francisco format change. We thank Mike Brooker in Toronto for passing along this article from Radio Inc. It seems that some people have been poking around to get some more information about what the new format exactly will be. There's a story going around that the station will be called AM 810 The Spread. There's also internet domain registration using that name. They're saying that this is going to be a sports talk programming schedule focused on sports betting and wagering. This is similar to some other stations that exist in California already. They have confirmed that the sports betting focus on KGO's format, citing a person, quote unquote, familiar with the change. A Cumulus spokesperson responded to the request for information by noting that the company will be announcing an exciting new brand coming to the Bay Area on Monday. Bet MGM Tonight is among the programs headed to KGO, so that is a syndicated show. The article does confirm that the change was made in mid-program. The show was the Mark Thompson Show, which KGO suddenly cut away from and delivered a pre-recorded message about the format change. So this basically confirms the previous stories that were out there, and that they are going to be tying sports and betting together on something called 810 The Spread in a radio format on a formerly very popular and quite powerful radio station.
Almost as the decision is taken, like, really at the last minute. It's like, okay, it's time to change, and this is what we're going to do. And we'll actually see if their own gamble pays off.
Exactly. Some of the staffers have been posting up messages on some of the radio boards saying that they didn't know this was coming. It happened in the middle of a radio broadcast. The guy that was on air with a talk show went to commercial break, came back from commercial break, and everything was gone. Apparently, they cleared out all the staff. They took everybody out of the station, cut the on-air feed, put the loop on that had already been prepared. So, you know, a very dramatic activity from the owners of the radio station, and probably shocked a lot of people who were tuned in listening at the time.
So what's happening with our Sun? It's been very active this week. The Sun has had a lot of flares. There are some really big sunspots that are really close to even making some of the biggest solar flares possible, the X flares. Actually, I have an app on my phone, which is the Space Weather Live app, and it actually gives me notifications of solar flares and radio blackouts. Almost every day this week, I was getting tons and tons of them, sometimes just a few minutes apart, a couple of flares, and conditions were up and down all week because of that. Because when we have solar flares happening, well, there's radio blackouts on the sunlit side of Earth. Then things come back, and there's like off and on, you know, magnetic disturbances. And we are looking at the possibility even of maybe today having some minor geomagnetic storming because of this. And what we could see with all the sunspots is that this is probably going to continue in the week ahead. So conditions will be up and down. But when they are quiet, they're really good. We have a sunspot number of 139, and we have a solar flux of 156. So tune around and check it out. Maybe check some of the websites like spaceweather.com to see what happens. And if you turn on the radio and it's not that great, well, you know what? Turn it on maybe an hour later, and things can be totally different. When there's a lot of activity, these moments, you know, they really change fast in the propagation cycle. And, of course, we're talking about shortwave radio here. And, of course, one of the best ways to know if the propagation is good is to turn on a radio and listen.
Hey, IRRR listeners. There's another program, World of Radio, now well over 2,000 weekly editions, with multiple broadcasts on two major shortwave stations in the U.S., WRMI and WBCQ. Also IRRS in Europe and Unique Radio in Australia. There are several chances to hear me, Glenn Hauser, on Sunday evenings, among others, and podcasts on demand. Full schedule info plus loads of other material, especially about shortwave, at worldofradio.com.
So we've got an interesting news item here, the Internet Archive, which is something that I actually go to a lot. There's a lot of great, great stuff from the past, from, you know, old websites or what websites looked like in the past, to digital content, videos, things that we forgot where the Internet was at some point, and today is so totally different. The Internet Archive is building a library of amateur radio broadcasts. So this is by Kay Holt from Engadget. The Internet Archive is aiming to build up a new library of old content. It's expanding beyond flash games and animations, movies, books, and of course snapshots of websites with the digital library of amateur radio and communications, DLARC. This particular archive, which will be led by tech historian Kay Savitz, will include amateur radio broadcasts and digital material from the early days of the Internet. Savitz told Gizmodo that his remit includes just about any kind of digital communications from the 1970s until the early 90s. While the preservation project focuses on amateur radio recordings, it may also feature early podcasts, digital newsletters, photos, videos, and yes, websites. There are plans to digitize print materials as well. I want the obscure stuff, the locally produced ham radio newsletters, or the smaller magazines, that sort of thing, says Savitz. The DLARC team, which has funding from the Amateur Radio Digital Communications Foundation, is looking for help to build out the collection. It's seeking partners and contributors with troves of ham radio, amateur radio, and early digital communications-related books, magazines, documents, catalogs, manuals, videos, software, personal archives, and other historical records collections. No matter how big or small, it added that every collection in the library will be accessible to everyone. The project will also offer a discovery portal designed for education and research use cases. So this is great. I think it's really nice that with all the digital stuff and the internet stuff they have, that they add aside for amateur radio, you know, every form of amateur radio from the print stuff to the digital communications, the websites that exist out there, and, you know, basically have a archive that will be there available in the future where we will see all of these, you know, websites and print magazines maybe we didn't even know about. And preserve all of that for the future also, which is really nice.
Yeah, it'll be nice to have it all sitting in one place together like that you can access it. I read this and I thought, maybe they'd like a collection of our Canadian International DX Club Messenger bulletins.
I thought about that too.
Well, we go back digital copies to 2005. We were one of the first clubs to go all digital in a electronic format. So maybe we should contact them and talk to them about that and see if they might be interested in putting our material up there as well. Maybe even our shows.
Jeez. Oh, yeah, definitely. You know? Definitely. Yeah. It's part of that. And you know what? As they're saying, even small collections, you've got a little something, you've got tapes, you've got whatever that you can digitize. They want everything.
Sounds interesting. Well, I will definitely look into that. We next move to a story about something I haven't heard about for quite a while, probably going back to things like our most recent wars where this service was put into use. Commando Solo retires. This comes via Medium Wave News, October 2022, via Glenn Hauser's World of Radio IO Group. Airmen from the 193rd Special Operations Wing, who operate the only flying military radio and TV broadcast platform in the U.S. military, transmitted their final broadcast to spectators at the Community Days Air Show at Lancaster Airport in Lititz, Pennsylvania, bringing to close a 54-year chapter in unit history. The EC-130J Commando Solo mission has helped keep this Air National Guard's unit's aircraft and its airmen at the tip of spear for nearly every major U.S. military operation since the Vietnam War. Before bombs dropped or troops deployed in the global war on terror following the attacks on September 11, 2001, this specially modified aircraft was already over the skies of Afghanistan, broadcasting to America's enemies that the U.S. military was bringing the fight to them. Any world event or crisis that our military has responded to in recent history, our 193rd Airman and Commander Solo were likely key components in that response, said Colonel Eric McKissick, 193rd SOW Vice Commander. As we prepare to open a new chapter in our history, we thank those who have enabled us to be among the very best wings in the Air National Guard. The genesis for this airborne information operation platform can be tracked back to 1968, when the 193rd Tactical Electronics Warfare Group received its first aircraft, called the EC-121 Coronet Solo. In the late 1970s, the aircraft were replaced by the EC-130E before finally being replaced by the current aircraft in 2003. Through its history, it was instrumental in the success of coordinated military information support operations, earning the wing the moniker of the most deployed unit in the Air National Guard. These deployments included Operation Enduring Freedom, Operation Iraqi Freedom, Operations Odyssey Dawn Unified Protector in Libya, Operation Inherent Resolve, Operation Resolute Support Freedom's Sentinel, Operation Secure Tomorrow, and Operation Unified Response in Haiti. Although this unique mission has earned the wing many prestigious accolades, Lieutenant Colonel Michael Hackman, 193rd Special Operations Squadron Commander, believes the mission's success and legacy lies in winning the hearts and minds of adversaries and providing vital information to allies, refugees, and victims in times of crisis. There's been no explanation, though, as to why it is being retired or if it will be replaced.
This is interesting because I had completely forgotten about these broadcasts coming out of aircrafts, TV, radio over certain territories where you can't really set up, you know, anything to broadcast locally. So why not do it from a plane?
Yeah, and I believe they were also dropping pamphlets at certain locations as well, to inform people on the ground of their existence and also to get information to them. But whether this will be replaced or not, as they say, they haven't said anything further about this. But I certainly remember, as soon as the name came up in that article, Commander Solo certainly remembered all the work that they had been doing.
So we have a sad story. This is from the Philippines. A radio broadcaster shot dead. This is via the Radio Info Asia. Radio broadcaster Percival Mabasa, better known as Percy Lapid, was shot dead on Monday night at Talon dos Las Piñas, Philippines. He was the host of the online broadcast program Percy Lapid Fire at DWBL 1242 kHz and was known to be critical of previous and the present administration, touching on topics such as red tagging and supposed extrajudicial killings. According to his family, he had received a lot of death threats before he was killed. He was on his way home to do an online broadcast when he was gunned down by two unknown assailants. According to the National Union of Journalists of the Philippines, Lapid was the second journalist killed during the term of President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. The first was radio broadcaster Ray Blanco, who was stabbed to death in Negro Oriental last month. The NUJP Secretary General, Ronalyn Olia, said Lapid was the first in recent years to be killed in Metro Manila. He was also the 196th journalist killed in the country since 1986, the year democracy was restored after the ouster of dictator Ferdinand E. Marcos, the father of the current president. In an October 2021 report, the New York-based Committee to Protect Journalists ranked the Philippines 7th on a global impunity index with 13 murders still unsolved. Sad to see that these things have to happen, especially when you talk about governments. You know, you can sometimes put yourself in harm's way.
I'm surprised with all the rhetoric and whatever going on in American radio, talk radio these days, that something like this hasn't happened in the U.S. You know, some of we were talking before the show, actually, of the content of some of these broadcasts is just so over the top and, you know, insulting people and telling outright lies and and what have you. It's really quite surprising that something dramatic has not happened to someone doing these types of radio broadcasts.
Yeah, let's not give them any ideas.
No, let's not. We won't talk about anything controversial on the air.
No, not really. I don't think we put ourselves in harm's way, I guess.
I hope not.
So there's some upcoming ham radio contests.
Yeah, coming up this week, first off, we have the 1010 International Fall CW Contest, 0001 Zulu, October 15th to 2359 Zulu, October 16th. That's organized by the 1010 International Net. It's on 10 meters, and it is a CW-only contest.
Yeah, the New York CUSO Party, 1400 Zulu, October 15th to 02 Zulu, October 16th, organized by the New York CUSO Party Committee. All amateur bands, excluding the work bands, and all modes are permitted.
We have the Worked All Germany contest, 1500 Zulu October 15th to 1459 Zulu October 16th, organized by the Deutsche Amateur Radio Club. It is CW and SSB, and the bands 3.5, 7, 14, 21, and 28 megahertz.
And finally, we have the Asia-Pacific Fall Sprint, CW, from 0 hour Zulu to 02 hour Zulu, October 16th, organized by the Asia-Pacific Sprint Committee. The bands 15 and 20 meters only, and it's CW.
All right, so a few things for you to check out on the ham bands this coming weekend. And that is going to do it for us this week. We thank you for tuning in to our show. You can reach us, as usual, radioreport@yahoo.com by email. And do check out our Facebook group, International Radio Report. You can join and read more information on the stories we cover on the show and other stories that don't make it to our 30 minutes of airtime each week. And we thank all the people who have been posting stories up there for us. It's much appreciated and makes for some really interesting reading. So check it out again, Facebook International Radio Report group. So that's it. Have a great week, everybody. We'll talk to you again next Sunday with our next edition of the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.